Dead Planets by Beloved Aries. Whenever the directors of the air element and the sylphs, under their command, withdraw from a planet or star according to the direction of cosmic law, you soon have a dead planet, and even plant life cannot live upon it. It was just such a cosmic crisis which the Earth faced when beloved Sanat Kumara interceded on behalf of the Earth and its evolutions. All through the universe, you can see drifting those shells which were once planets and stars, from which have been consciously withdrawn the directors of the forces of the elements and the elementals who serve under them. These shells of former planets and stars finally disintegrate into cosmic dust and return to the universal. There the electrons which made up of the former planet or star may be repolarized and return to the particular sun from whence they originally came. From there they are sent forth again at a later time to help create and sustain some new constructive creation which will benefit the evolutions of the galaxy or system which has been chosen for such blessing. Energy and Vibration by the beloved Mahar Shohan. Vibration and radiation are coexistent within form. Even a blade of grass, a flower, a rock, a tree emits unconsciously a rate of vibration which affects the cosmos as a whole, and which, mind you, by the undulation of its energy, rearranges the atoms of the entire universe. Thus, all life is constantly contributing to a changing of the actual sense of the cosmos. This law applies to the ascended host as well as to men evolving on the Earth's surface, and even to the Godhead itself. The idea that the higher octaves are in a state of utter peace and rest has arisen from the fact that ascetics who have, through contemplation, temporarily loosed their consciousness from the moving sea of vibratory action of the lower realm and contacted the higher realms, found the contrast between the two so great that, endeavoring to give worded expression to their experiences, they have conveyed the impression of a static state as against the low vibration which forms the atmosphere of Earth. Thus often are truths falsely garbed through human misapprehension. The peace and quietude of the higher octaves is described by the mortal mind as a place where vibration does not exist, because the vibration of the outer mind means noise and motion and confusion. Let it be here set forth, therefore, that the ecstatic bliss of Nirvana, which is the aura of the universal first cause, is a vibratory action and not a void. The universe itself is filled with electronic light, which is intelligent. These electrons have the power and capacity within themselves to receive directions, and by the exertion of their own intelligence, perform the necessary activities required to manifest those directions. Within this universal light substance, which fills the universe from the heart center to its periphery, are self-conscious beings who alone have the power to set this electronic substance into motion. The intelligence within the light substance does not act until set into motion by a superior power, a thought and feeling focus endowed with God authority. The electronic light would remain in the unformed state if some God intelligences did not charge into it a direction for pattern and outline. These individualized foci of intelligence, who are the motivating power behind creation, are the God beings or masters. Mankind also is endowed with the capacity to rearrange electronic particles. Therefore, every individual is a student in the classroom of life. Any individual, no matter how ignorant or untrained, endowed with a thought and feeling principle, is a conscious or unconscious influence upon the distribution and arrangement of the electronic substance of the universe in which he finds being. And it is for the purpose that he may consciously cooperate with the design of the Godhead that mankind is now being trained. This conscious control of the electronic substance in accord with the God plan lies within the evolution of both his intelligence and his capacity to embrace the God consciousness. Meditate, my children, upon the power of the spark of God that lives within your hearts. Consciously place the problems that beset you in the transmuting flame of His presence. Surrender your human will to its guidance and say with Jesus, "Not my will, but thine be done." Then you may also say, "Whosoever seeth me sees the Father." If man could even partially comprehend the law governing energy and vibration, he would be in a fair way towards self-mastery. As we have said before, there is no such thing as a being without vibration and radiation. Man is in training, and he will come one day to a realization that the power to create vibration is not only a responsibility, but an opportunity by which mastery and divinity can be experienced through the individualized ego. For millions of centuries, man, by accepting individuality, has created vibration, which moved from the center of his being to the periphery of the cosmos, and is constantly, throughout the entire course of his individualization, affected by every electron within that cosmic orbit to some degree. Just as when you drop a pebble into the center of a pool, you see the eddies go out in ever-widening circles until they reach the periphery, returning again to the center. So everything within that pool is affected by the vibrations caused by the activity at the center. From the very moment man took being, the electronic light, in obedience to the decree of the Father, became his servant. When the vibratory action that he set into motion reached the periphery in its circle, it began its return journey back into his own experience, and the bombardment of the returning light sent back from the sounding board of the universe became that which is known as karma. The more positive and intense the individual, the more powerful the vibration and its amplification back into the life stream, whether the outgoing quality was good or evil. As the vibratory action around him became more and more chaotic, desire for knowledge and a way and means of finding peace arose within the heart. Then the man became an applicant for Godhood, and it is at this point that the training of the life stream began. The intricacies of vibration are such that I could spend a full week of illustrating the tremendous impact of one individual on the universe, each organism within the body vibrating and emitting certain energy waves that contribute to the light or shadow of the planet. Thus, the body elemental alone affects the passion or the aspiration of every incarnate soul. Then the soul has a vibration which, when awakened, is a powerful force for good. For every seeker, no matter how confused the search, affects the consciousness of all individuals. Then the mind tunes in and vibrates according to its choice of material, affecting in turn all the mind stuff in the universe. And so we could go on and on in amplification of the powers of vibration, unconscious vibration, that is. Now we come to the opportunity of consciously directing into the universal light a vibration that would be of beneficent interest to the universe. The mind, the heart, the intelligence can be incorporated into this experiment. Visualize electronic light, unformed, with every electron, receptive, obedient, alert, waiting for your message. Then set up a vibration consciously in your feelings. See the energy waves pass out from you in ever-widening circles, and the obedient electrons start into motion. Choose, if you will, a particular quality or a blessing that would benefit the race. It is a beautiful pastime for spending an hour of relaxation, and is a wonderful treatment for the body, the nervous system and the soul. First, one must experiment with the mind, the heart, the feelings, and later the ganglionic centers can be trained to send forth these vibrations even when the conscious mind is busy with other matters. The untrained people of the world do this unconsciously in the sending forth of Christmas and Easter blessings.